Well, the number of Wednesday evenings, we've been considering some of the keys that will enable us to be fruitful in our church membership. We first looked at the fact that a person cannot really be a very good member of a church until he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and is baptized into the church. And you think, well, everybody knows that. But there's all kinds of churches that if you just attend, you're considered a church member. And they don't even ask you about whether you're saved or not. You're just a part of them. But the Bible clearly teaches that they that gladly received the word were baptized, and then there was added unto them. If we aren't, even after we're saved, if we're not really steadfastly walking and drawing close to the Lord in a backslidden state, we can also be very detrimental to our church. Secondly, we just talked to you about the high priority that the whole New Testament places on the local church. Ephesians 3:21 tells us, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And then we brought out to you on our third session the fact that there are no perfect churches, there's no perfect pastor, there's no perfect church members, and that God, even in spite of us, can use us for his honor and glory. And so just know that people make mistakes, and there needs to be some forbearance. And then we pointed out to you that not everything in the Bible is a major thing. And in Matthew chapter 23, he said they were saying that, you know, they were tithing the little tiny bits of seed, the smallest seeds that was in the spice family. They would tithe that, but they left the weightier things undone. And so in that term weightier, you can see that there are some things, everything in the Bible is important, but there are some things in the Bible that are weightier. The fact that we're saved by grace through faith is far more weightier than the fact that Adam, who did Adam's boys marry? Well, of course they married their sisters. And the incest laws did not come until later because of the result of the fall. And so there are some things more weightier. And then we talked to you about the difference between convictions and preferences and how we need to make sure that we don't try to impose upon others our preferences. But convictions ought to be based upon the Word of God. Now tonight, I want to talk to you about what I think is probably one of the deadliest things of killing a church membership usefulness and fruitfulness, and that is for us to or an individual member, or we put ourselves in a place where we become very hypocritical in our judgments. And in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord addresses this hypocritical judging, and he condemns it. And it is a serious matter. We can swing too far and being too judgmental. And we can swing too far the other way and being too open-minded. But he says in Matthew chapter 7, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" The mote would be a small speck of chaff or dirt. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye?" And so he's using sarcasm. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Hypocritical judgment. Of course, we've studied this before, and you can see that some people teach that, you know, we shouldn't judge anything. Judge not, you know. Don't be judging me. The Bible says don't judge. But if you just go down to the next verse after verse 5, in verse 6, he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. In the Jewish culture, the most two despised animals of the Jewish culture was dogs and pigs. And to give that which is spiritual unto dogs and pigs, and really he's referencing the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he says, don't give the pearls, don't give the precious spiritual things to those that are spiritually dogs and pigs. Well, if I'm going to make in order to distinguish those that are spiritually dogs and spiritually swine, I'm going to have to make some judgments. And so he's not outlawing judgments along that line. Of course, he's not outlawing civil law. If you look back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 25, he said, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And so he's just acknowledging that there is some legal judgment that takes place by the judge, and there's some things that always have to happen in a society. And so he's not ruling out judging along that line. And then if you look in Matthew chapter 18, and verse 15, here's two people in the church that were having a problem. In Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And so these witnesses go, they establish the facts of the matter, and then the Bible says in verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, what that implies is that they hear the argument, they hear both sides, and then these men make a judgment. And they say, you know, this, you're making a big deal out of this, or you could say, or they might say, you know, you're right, this was a big deal, you need to make this right, you need to reciprocate and pay him back for what you destroyed or whatever the issue is. But it calls for judgment. A similar situation on church discipline over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where a man was reported to be fornicating with his father's wife. Paul said, I've already judged. Now you need to take care of it. And so that calls for some judgment. And so he is not speaking there about those things. It doesn't even rule out looking for evidence of true salvation in a person's life. Look over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into a fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so, yes, we are to be fruit inspectors in relationship to salvation. That there ought to be something changed in a person's life. And you remember when the people came out of the cities and went out into the wilderness where John the Baptist was preaching? What did John the Baptist say? John said, bring forth fruits of repentance. Let me see that you've really been saved. And so this passage in Matthew chapter 7 doesn't rule out us examining people's lives and seeing that there's a difference in their lives, that God has worked a work of grace in their lives. Note also in Romans 16 and verse 17, this calls for some judgment. In Romans 16 and 17, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark those which cause division and offenses contrary to doctrine, which ye have learned, and avoid them." And so I'm going to have to make some judgments. Is this person causing divisions? Is this person causing offenses contrary to doctrine? And I'm going to have to cast some judgments, make some judgments. And so that's not what this passage isn't talking about that, but it is talking about something that is very serious. And that is the judgment of Matthew 7, 1 through 5. It's a person who has a fault-finding spirit. They go around with a little cloud over them all the time. And they're always trying to find fault in other people. It's a judgmental spirit that's not motivated out of trying to aid someone or help a brother or sister, but rather it's a unjust, unkind, unsympathetic judgment. It has no mercy. It's a judgment that tears down instead of desiring to build up. And so, let me, just to help us understand it, let me talk about some ways that takes place. This commandment is violated, and it will affect your church membership being fruitful, when we judge hastily, when we judge quickly. We must never believe evil reports that are based on hearsay. What is hearsay? Well, I heard someone say. They didn't really see it, but they heard it. And you can hear all kinds of things, can't you? You can hear Obama and Romney exchange lies tonight. You can hear all kinds of hearsay. And to attempt to judge a person before we know the facts is wrong. Now, we've got friends, and we know if our friend told us that, it had to be the absolute truth. But, you know, we could have a wreck out here on the highway, and 10 of us could see it, and 10 of us could give a different report. And so there's a need to cut some people some slack. There's a need to not judge hastily, to try to gather all the facts. Someone said that there's more people wrongly judged in the courtrooms of gossip than in any other courtrooms of the land. I want you to go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, Nicodemus was introduced earlier in John, wasn't he? And Nicodemus was a secret disciple. And in John chapter 7, and verse 50, the Sanhedrin and the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, the priests and Pharisees is who it says in verse 45, and the officers, they're having a discussion about Jesus. And they're trying to pin something on him. And Nicodemus in John 7 and verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him? And know not what he doeth?" And so Nicodemus says, listen, the legal law of the land, it's just right and just that we don't judge a person until we hear the whole story. They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went into his own house. They didn't answer the question, did they? But they attacked the messenger. They attacked Nicodemus. But Nicodemus laid a foundation that's a foundation that ought to apply across society, but surely it ought to apply in a local New Testament church if our membership is going to be a fruitful membership. And that is, I have no right to pass judgment on any one of you through hearsay that I hear from someone else. We need to get both sides of the story. And really, that's what Matthew 18 is about, isn't it? You take two or three that every word may be established. Note in Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Proverbs 18 and 13. He says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." That they need to hear both sides of the story. No accusation against a person should be entertained until the accused has had an opportunity to speak. One of the fastest ways to shut up someone is giving you information and say, "Well, let's, you know, that may be true, but let's go. Will you go with me? Let's talk to this guy. Let me hear the whole side of the story." And you see what happens. What happens is when our buddies tell us, you know, this happened, and we don't know the other side of the story, and then we say, "Let's go." They get offended because you don't believe me. Well, it's not really about that. It's about making sure that he understood what's going on, and that we understand what's going on, and we don't pass judgment. I read about one guy who had two fellow church members come to him and said, he said, they told him, "You need to go and apologize to you know, Joe Smo over here for what you did. You were wrong, you need to go apologize." And he looked at them, he said, "I'm not even going to listen to what you're saying because you have judged me before you've heard the facts. You have no credibility." And really, we don't have any credibility. They don't have any credibility until they ask you what happened, until we have both sides of the story. And so Matthew chapter 7, one of the ways that we violate that judgmental attitude and violate the scriptures there is that we judge very hastily, that we hear in a rumor or we hear in hearsay and we pass judgment. Another way in which we violate the command of Matthew chapter 7 is when we judge a person's motive. We can pass judgment on the actions of people as to right and wrong. We very clearly can say it's wrong. Theft is wrong. To steal something is wrong. To use the name of the Lord in vain is wrong. But to cast judgment upon a person's motive, I'm not saying the motive of name in the vein, a robbery, or the motive of cursing, but to cast judgment upon a person's motive because you just think that way is wrong. You don't really know their motive. You don't know why they did what they did. Sally Jones is only being nice to me because her husband wants to borrow my four-wheeler. That's a casting judgment upon a motive. We don't know that. It could be that she is, but you see, you don't really know the motive of a person's heart. And so we can judge actions, but we can't always judge motives. And let me show you how evil that is. And I think we do it all the time, you know. We think, "Well, he's trying to butter me up. You know, he's trying to get on my good side." And it could be, and we know people do that. I mean, that's legitimate. People do that at times. But we don't always know a person's motive. And look with me over in Job. In Job 1, chapter 1, and look in verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And so Satan was saying here, the motive of Job in serving you is to get your blessing. And God says, and God is implying here, not these direct words, but God is implying, Job is serving me because of me. What was Satan doing? He was judging Job's motives. Now, I want that to sink into your heart and my heart. When I begin to judge another person's motive and check them off my list because I know their motives are wrong and I'm going to just check them off my list, that is satanic. We need to quit it. We don't really know their heart. You don't know why they did what they did. And so that we violate Matthew chapter 7. And boy, when you get a church questioning people's motives and making judgments and saying, you know, boy, they're really bad because their motive was to get him. When all the time your motive wasn't to get him at all, but you knew that the path that they were going down was wrong. You know, today over we had a little fire going and Caleb told Clayton, don't get up there. And he wouldn't let him get up on the little pad we have that the stove sets on. And Clayton could say, my dad's motive is just to put me in bonds. He won't let me do anything. But you know what? you know what? We act that way all the time, don't we? Casting judgments upon people's motives. Now, when motives turn out and show that they're to be wrong, we ought to confront them. But we have no right. We can't look into a person's heart. We could ask them, why did you do that? And then they can reveal to us their motives. But just to automatically say or think is wrong. Thirdly, we violate the commandment when we judge apart from the Word of God. This really goes back to some of the things we said last week in relationship to preferences and precepts and commands that we need to keep our judgments up on the Word of God. And we can have our own opinions about homeschool. We can have our own opinions about dating and courtship. We can have your own opinions. And there are some very good principles that can make our points. But there's some things weightier than other things. And we need to base it upon the Word of God. Homeschooling, or whether, you know, some people in our church, one guy really had an issue, whether it's paper or plastic. Whether it was paper or styrofoam. And left the church over it, supposedly. But when it came out in the end, he was nothing but a reprobate. Had nothing to do with paper or plastic. But those kind of judgments, you can think what you want to, and you can be a greenie if you want to. And there's something about not messing in the nest that you sleep in. But we ought to judge according to biblical things. There ought to be chapter and verse. Look over in James chapter 4. Something's very interesting here. In James chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, speak not evil one of an, James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And so what is sitting here is this, is that here is a person judging, and their judgment wasn't according to Scripture. It wasn't even a scriptural matter, but they're passing judgment. He says, in doing that, you've become a judge of the law because what you're saying you consider more important than God's law. And so you're messing with God's law now. That when we have a standard that we judge by, and that standard goes beyond, thus saith the Word of God, then you've placed your own standards above God's standards. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to make you an unfruitful church member. Because I tell you what people do in relationship to Pharisees. They avoid them. They avoid them. And here he was quarreling with his brother and condemning him for something that was not forbidden in the Word of God. And so we need to stick to the Word of God and lay the charge at their conscience according to the Word of God. If you can't bring forth Scripture to support your charge, then you're passing judgment upon the person in God's perfect rule. And then we violate this commandment by not putting the best possible light on the actions of others. On, you know, we see the actions of others, and instead of casting it in a good light, we cast it in a very negative light. For some reason, because of our depravity, we always want to put actions of people in a very negative, dark light. I guess because we think that makes us better. But look over in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Casting the actions of others in a negative light. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, and it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And so this king of Ammon, Nahash, had shown favor and kindness to David. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And so David sent some, whether they sent a gift or just a letter or news. Anyway, he wanted to go comfort this guy who had lost his father of Ammon, Hanun. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father? That he has sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and espy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. That was a great reproach. It was a great indignity. He shamed them. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon set and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and the king Maacah, 1,000 men, and Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. Listen, when you begin to paint what people do in a positive way, when someone wants to bless you, when someone wants to comfort you, when someone reaches out to you and you accuse them of folly, you accuse them of trying to take advantage of you, the result is always going to be war. And that's what happened here. Why can't we just take people at their word? And if they're lying, shame on them. We violate this commandment by not putting the best possible light. We violate this commandment by first not looking in the mirror. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, you know, why are you trying to take the mote out of thy brother's eye when you have this gigantic beam in your own eye? And so it's a picture of something sticking, a 2x4 is sticking out of my head, and I'm over there, and the 2x4 is bouncing around, and I'm trying to get the speck out of the other guy's eye because it's more important. And he's simply saying, listen, before you get carried away and start judging people and start casting disparaging words about them and saying they're all wrong, you need to go look in the mirror. You need to get God's word and let it shine in your heart. You need to look at yourself and understand that, listen, you got some problems too. But, and he says in this in Matthew chapter 7, with what measure you judge by, you're going to be judged by that measure. If you're a very critical person, know that you're going to be criticized. You're going to be judged in the same manner. And so he's telling us, you know, take a bath, you know, clean up. Go see what's wrong in your own life. And Galatians really verifies that when it says in Galatians, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then finally, we've talked about, up to this point, we've talked about that we can violate this by being hasty, that we can violate it by judging a person's motive. We can violate it by judging the people apart from God's word and just to our own standards. We violate it by putting a dark picture upon something that someone's trying to do, as David was trying to comfort Nan. And then we violate it by not first looking at our own lives. But all of that is emphasized to the extreme when I go around vocalizing my judgments to other people. When I judge a person's motive and I say, you know, he's just doing that because of this, this, and this, and it wasn't that at all. And then I go start telling my buddy, you know, that guy came over and he was, you know, and I know all he was doing that for is just to get on the good side of me, or he was trying to take advantage of me, and that then brings him into it. And then he goes tell someone else, and that brings them into it. And the error is much more intensive when I go around blabbing what I think in my judgmental, critical spirit. I hope you live long enough to know this, is that when you hang around a grouch, you can become a grouch. You want to watch where you say your amens, brother. When you're negative and hang around, when you hang around someone's negative, they'll become negative. And when you are critical, to go around blabbing at a talebearer is going to destroy your usefulness in a New Testament church. Look at Leviticus 19:16. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Look in Proverbs 11:13. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Titus says, speak evil of no man. Look in James 3. A wrong judgment spoken vocally sets the whole course around us, the whole world around us on fire. In James 3, and then note verse 6, James 3:6, he says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Stealing is wrong. To smite another person in anger is wrong. But gossip and slander and voicing our judgmental spirits concerning other people, it's like a feather pillow being dumped out of an airplane and the wind carrying it. They go every place. It gets spread abroad. And to talebearer in the fashion of judgmental spirit, it's like those feathers tossed about with the wind. It will never know where all the injury has gone. To ruin the reputation of another is sinful. The difference between gossip and slander is that gossip can be truth, but slander is telling what is not true. Both of them are wrong. Gossip is wrong, to tell bear, but slander is even more wrong. And so, to judge a person and to put those judgments vocally to others is going to bring a very destructive condition to your church membership. Love covers the multitude of sin. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love should give the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes it's so enjoyable to be critical, we feed on it. But it's sinful. It needs to be stopped. Okay? See ya. I know it's not business meeting, but there are just two things I want to deal with, and then we'll do more business next week. One is the bill for the church insurance has come, and we have $3,009.99 that we've rat-holed away in a fund for that. That bill for 1 year is $3,900, a little over $900, $3,900. Which what I'm saying is that our savings, what we've been putting the savings in for the insurance, we're about $900 short. And we really don't want to empty it because we want to keep the savings in there. Or we can either borrow $900 out of the general fund, or probably a little more than $900 so we don't zero out that account. Or we can pay that.